Matthew 18, if you're able to be able to stand with me in honor of God's word in verse number 1. Matthew 18, the Bible says, "And it came at the same time, came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the truth that it gives and the power that it has. We thank you, Father, for the lives it changes, for the marriages it rebuilds, and Father, for what it does for us, Father. We thank you so much for giving us the Bible to us. And Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the ministries and for your people to come back on a Sunday night. Lord, it blesses my heart to see them come back and to hear more from you. And Father, we thank you, and we pray, Father, this would be a help. And Lord, a reminder, Lord, just a little preventative maintenance tonight, and I pray this will be a help to your people. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My prayer tonight is to be a help to you, and I like preventative maintenance. And we have, I'm driving my wife's vehicle tonight and things. I'm being very careful. And she called me. She goes, how's the vehicle? And I said, I'm okay. How are you? You know, and those kind of things. And I'm very careful with it. And I like to just take care of it for her while I drive it and make sure it's okay and make sure the oil is changed and things of that nature and make sure there's gas in there and try to do my best to keep it clean and things. But I want to take care of it the best I can. And what I mean by that is, when the oil needs to be changed, I need to change the oil and get a tune-up and those kind of things. And I want to make it last. And I don't want to come to the point where the engine goes out, and that's not a good thing. I think I'd rather replace the oil filter than replace the whole motor. And so just a little preventative maintenance tonight as we see the story. And this is some very practical things, and I think, and again, I like being transparent. I like practical things because that's what we deal with on a day-to-day basis. And I want to share a story with you briefly, and then we'll give you 8 things tonight, and that will be a help. When I got saved and before salvation, I was not a good dad. I was not a good father. And anyone can be a dad, but it's hardly anyone can be a father as well. And I learned from the Bible how to be a father to my children. And God has blessed me with some beautiful girls, and they've done a tremendous job, and they help with the ministry. And our oldest, Mariah, 14, and she surrendered her life to serve in ministry. That's been a blessing. And she does a wonderful, wonderful job with the kids. She just has a thing with kids. She connects with children. And they connect with her, and it's amazing. I really enjoy seeing that. And we have Janiyah and things. And you notice I talk about my family a lot because I love my family. And I thank God for my family. I thank God for my wife. I thank her for leading me to the Lord and sticking with me through hard times. And we think about Janiyah and how the Lord has used her. She got saved and baptized, and she loves soul winning. She loves church, and we have our youngest daughter, Naviah. Now, Naviah she just talks and talks and talks. And she says the darnest things, and people look at her. How old is she? I said, she's 6 years old, and she talks like she's like an adult. And she'd be walking around, and she'd be walking through Walmart, so she will see someone goes, excuse me, sir, your shoestring's untied. I don't want you to trip. You might want to tie that. You know, those kind of things, and she kind of, she's that way. And we have this thing with our family is we have date nights with our girls and dads. I encourage you to do that and spend time with your girls and with your children. Go out and For my case, I have a date night with my girls, and we take the oldest one, and we kind of go back and forth. We start with Mariah, and we take her out, and I take her into town, and we have dinner, a nice dinner, and we dress up, and we just talk. And we talked about her life and kind of the fun things and ministry, and we talked about the devotions that she has and how God talked to her, and we'll have ice cream, and we go shopping with her, and we go to Claire's, and yes, I go to Claire's, and wherever they want to go, we go there and just spend time with them, and I do that every other month. I want to spend time with my girls. I want to establish my relationship with them. And it's been a blessing. I really do enjoy it. It blesses my heart. It really gets my mind off of ministry, if you will, and just really focus on my family and spend time with my family. And so we use our date night for Nevaeh, which is our youngest daughter. And I forgot about a meeting that I had. It was a conference call that I was supposed to have about 6 o'clock. And we're about an hour, a little over an hour away from town. And so we were driving, we're about halfway there. And she was very excited. She goes, "Dad, we'll go to Pizza Nine, and I want to play some golf, and I'm going to beat you. I'm going to get the small golf thing, Brother Reed, and whatever that is. The putter, yeah, that I know you golf and things like that and things. And so she goes, "I'm going to get the small one. I'm going to get the blue ball." And we're planning all this thing out. And all of a sudden, I remember I had a conference call. And this was a very, very, very important call that I had to get to. And it was about, we were about 30. The call was in about 35 minutes. And so I said, "Honey," I said, "man," I said, "I'm sorry." I said, "Will," I said, "I got to turn around. I got to make this call," and I said, "Then we'll go back into town," and it kind of broke her heart. And I said, "We're gonna go. I just got to make this call, and then we'll go and we'll do this." And she goes, "Okay, Dad," and she kind of sat there quietly, and we went back into Ganado, and we went to the house, and we had a conference call, lasted about 30 minutes or so, and we got done, and then we went on to town and with little Nevaeh. And then we went into town and we spent the evening, and we had dinner and things. And, you know, I learned a lot from her during our little date night. And I was, when I was listening to her and things, just kind of watching her, and I began to kind of just like, I have like a note paper, you know, a pen, and just, you know, preacher who has sermon thoughts, you know, if something comes in your mind, you write it down and things. And so I started writing some things down, and I pray this would be a help to you. The Bible here says in verse number 18, or chapter 18, it says, verse number 3, "And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted as become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And I thought about this, and many times as Christians, we begin to question who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, as these disciples did. Many times we compare our life, we compare our families, we compare our children, how they're raised, how they're dressed, how smart they are, and we begin to, sometimes we put them on a platform. Sometimes we put our families in a platform. And many times we boast or we brag, if you will, and how great they are and things. And I was spending time with my daughter. She showed me some things, and it was a great help to me. And I read this, and it just came to me. And I began to feel, Jesus was talking to me about this, and I think it will be a help for us. 8 things tonight. Number one, one thing I learned was patience. You know, children have patience. As I was talking to her, and I said, honey, I'm sorry, but I got to make this call. And she goes, "Okay, Dad." And she said, we drove 30 miles back. We already drove 30 miles already, 30 minutes. Then we drove 30 miles backwards, and then another hour forward. And she just sat there just looking around. "Good night, this girl is patient." I think that would be good for all of us to be patient sometimes. We pray and we want God to answer what? Now. We want God to intervene now. We want God to heal now. We want God to work now. Sometimes God says, hold on, hold on. God sometimes says, wait. Sometimes God says, no. Sometimes God says, let me work with you a little bit. Let me put you through the fires a little bit. Let me put you through the valleys a little bit so I can teach you some patience. Can I tell you, God's been patient with you, haven't He? Been patient with me. God, 28 years of my life, 28 years I wasted, what? God was patient with me. Of all the accidents I've had in my life, God was still patient with me. As I looked at my daughter, as I was paying attention to her, she just sat there and patient, waiting on Dad. It'd be good for us to be patient, waiting on the Lord. What a great lesson I've learned from watching my little girl. As we're going through our building project, man, where we've met, the devil has just been attacking in every direction, and we've I'll share a quick story with you. Before we can even start our building, before we can even start construction, we have to get approval from our government, our tribe. And we had a group who a year ago already said, here's the date that we'll, let's plan this. And I said, okay, what's a good date for you? What's a good date for me? We planned everything. I said, oh yeah, I said, over a year. I said, that's enough time. We'll have our building and we'll have everything ready to go. And yet God paused it. God paused our building, and I said, man, we're meeting in a hotel, and God, we need a building. No building. Then we kind of got kicked out from the owner was a Mormon. They kind of lied to us and kicked us out in a nice way, and so we found another place and we started meeting there temporarily. God, what about our building? No building yet. And I did all my due diligence in turning in our paperwork and doing this and doing that and all our surveys and thousands of dollars, all that situated, but yet no building. Church goes, okay, well, we're going to come out on June 10th. We'll do that. And okay, that's plenty of time, but no approval. And they call Pastor Neza, how's that? How's the construction going? How's the foundation going? Hey, we're going to be there in about 2 months. How's no building, no approval. And I'm frankly trying to get things together and trying to do this. And finally, I just had to stop. I said, God, all right, let me just back off a little bit. God, I know we have time. This group's coming. They're going to help us. And we've ordered all our concrete already. They're coming in a couple of weeks. And we still haven't had a building, God. I don't know if you know what's going on here or patient. Took a step back. You know what God did? He began to work. It'll be good for us from time to time to be patient with God. Be patient with your children. Be patient with your wife. Be patient with your pastor. Be patient for those who have authority over you. Be patient. Learn to be patient and wait on God. Learn to be patient so God can do it His way. We get ahead of God, we're going to mess it up. As we're driving, I've seen she had patience. And second, she had fear. She had fear. We got to the place and she's walking by me and then she grabs my hand and she's holding my hand and she's looking around like this and she's holding my hand. Be good to us, have some fear. To fear the Lord. Be good for us to fear God. It's a good thing to fear God. That keeps us in line, that keeps us focused, that keeps us faithful. Hey, listen, I fear God. Man, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to do anything that displeases my God. I fear God. That's why I try to stay right. I try to stay faithful. I'm in my Bible. I'm trying to pray. I'm doing this. I'm doing it because I fear God. I don't want to fail Him. I don't want to displease my Father. He's given me a great responsibility. He's given you a responsibility with your children, with your family, with your marriage. He's given you a responsibility. It'd be good for us to have some fear. Third, I learned to be content. The disciples said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? What do they want? They want prominence. What do they want? They want stature. What do they want? They want the position. What do they want? They want to be noticed. They want the glory. They want the fame. They want the name. God, who's the greatest? As we're walking through the mall and I'm holding my daughter's hand and man, I love her. And I said, honey, I said, What about that toy? Why, you like that toy? He goes, yeah. She looks at it, and she looks at it like this. Yeah, that's a nice toy, Dad, but it's okay. I don't need it. I said, honey, are you sure? It's our date night. You can get a toy flag. No, Dad, I have one of those at home. And those numbers look pretty big, so it might be a little too much. It's okay, Dad. It's all right. I have one of those at home. When's the last time you've been content with the things you have? We tell our people, be content. We have the most important thing. We have our church. We have God. We have a Bible. And we have the Holy Spirit. That's all we need. All those things. Listen, I'm not against new cars. I'm not against a nice house. I'm not against nice clothes. I'm not against those kind of things. Learn how to be content. Learn how to be content. Who's the greatest? Who has the greatest house? Who has the greatest family? Who has the smartest kid? How much more do you have on someone else's account, if you will? How much more talent do you have? How smart are you? Got to be learning to be content. When we don't be content, you know what? If the focus becomes on us. What did Paul say? Not I, but Christ liveth in me. We become incontent. We focus on ourselves. Our eyes come off of God. And we begin to get bitter. We begin to be covetous. Things are not good for us. Things are not going to hurt us financially. It's going to be a roller coaster. Our face is going to, it's not going to be good when we don't learn to be content. I'm walking down with my girl, my little girl, and she goes, no. She says, honey, Dad, I don't want that one. It's okay, Dad. It's okay. I have toys at home. It's okay, Dad. Well, she just grabbed my hand and she just kind of went like this. And she's walking and said, man, I need to be content. Man, I'm learning a lot of things here. Patience, fear, content. Then I learned trust. I learned to trust. I said, honey, We're going to go. I promise we're going to go. And let me just do this phone call and then we'll go. And she says, okay, Dad. All right, Dad. I trust you. When the Bible says, go with me to John, the book of John, look in verse 14. In John 14, the Bible gives us some promises. He says in verse chapter 14, verse number 1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Bible gives us many promises, but there's times when we don't take God at His word. There's time when we doubt God. Are you really? Do you really want to use me? Are you really going to do this? Are you really going to do that? And we kind of jump the fence a little bit. We're riding the fence there. But do you really trust God as God would have you to trust Him? Many times we don't trust God like we should. We don't trust God with our children. We don't trust God with things. We don't believe God many times. He even says, hey, I'll do this. I'll bless you and I'll help you. I'll encourage you. All you got to do is follow me. All you got to do is trust me. All you got to do is have faith in me. Believe me. That's all I want you to do. But many times we back off and say, God, are you really? Do you really mean that? Are you sure about that? We're driving down the road and she goes, okay, Dad, I trust you. Man, I wish it was easy for me to trust God that easily. I wish it was easy for me to be patient like she was. You see, she didn't have all this stuff to worry about. All she was focusing on was what's in front of her. She says, I know that I'm going to Gallup, I'm going to Walmart, and I'm going to have pizza, and I'm just going to be patient. That's where I'm going to be. That's coming to me. And that's going to happen. What was she doing? She was patient. If it took 30 minutes, if it took an hour, she was patient. God says He's coming back. God says He loves us. God says I'm going to come back one day, and I'm going to receive you. And sometimes we get impatient. God says, hold on one second. That's not good for you. Let me work with you first. Let me kick the edges off first. Let me mold you where you need to be first. But yet we have no patience many times. And we hurt ourselves. We hurt our family. We hurt our marriage. We hurt our church. When we don't have patience. We don't have patience and we fear. When God says, hey, maybe someone's been called to the ministry and say, no, I don't want. We're dealing with someone now in our church. Our Bible college is starting here in a couple of weeks, and my wife called me about this earlier. I'm scared. I said, no, don't be scared. The devil's trying to put some fear in you. But this is I believe this is God's will for you. She goes, I know it is, but I'm just scared. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm afraid. We said patience, fear, contentment, trust, and obedient. Well, how we need to be obedient to God. When's the last time you said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will? God, if it's your will, I'll do that. God, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do that. Hey, it doesn't matter what my family says. It doesn't matter what everyone else will say. I'm just going to worry about what you want me to do. When's the last time you were obedient? Listen, many tonight, you're obedient tonight. Praise the Lord. You came to church. That blesses my heart. Obedient. Then, number six is honesty. I'm sitting across my daughter and we're enjoying pizza. And then she says, Dad, she goes, can I be honest with you? I said, sure, honey. I said, I like that. And she goes, to be honest with you, she goes, I kind of got scared because when we turned around, I thought we weren't going to come to Gallup. And she goes, I kind of got sad a little bit. And she goes, I didn't know if I was going to eat the pizza. When was the last time you were honest with God? When was the last time you got on your knees and said, God, man, I'm struggling. God, I don't know what to do. God, I'm kind of in a tight spot here. What am I going to do? Listen, God, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. But there's times when I open this Bible and it just feels like you're not speaking to me. God, I know that I'm trying to be faithful. I'm going to church, but it just feels like I'm there, but I'm not there. I'm getting a little frustrated. Is it, I don't know what it is, God. When's the last time you were honest? About you, teenager. When's the last time you said, God, man, I'm trying to fit in. I'm trying to fit in, but I just don't feel accepted. People make fun of me, and I'm just too different. It just feels weird. It feels awkward. God, I don't like it. When's the time you were honest with God? God, I'm not soul winning like I should. Man, I'm not giving my time like I should. When's the last time you were honest with God? It's good to be honest because God already knows your heart. God already knows what you're going through and He wants to help you. He wants to encourage you because He cares about you. And love. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love. Little Janiah, Neviah. Daddy, I love you. Dad, I love you. Listen, it may not be a big deal to you, but that's a big deal to me. I love hearing that. I love hearing it. Blesses my heart. It's a blessing to see your kids love you and appreciate you. Last night I was telling her I'm going to Albuquerque. She was laying by me and she goes, when are you coming home? I said, probably late tonight. She goes, okay. She goes, you're not going to stay over there at a hotel? I said, no. She says, okay, good. She goes, I'll sound like Tom Baudet. I'll leave the light on for you. You know what God in heaven, your Father, He likes it when you say, God, I love you. God, I love you. I just want to say thank you. Say thank you. You come to the altar and say, God, man, I know I messed up. God, I thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for my family. Thank you for the talent that you give me. Thank you for my job and thank you for my children. Thank you for my wife, for my family. Thank you for my car. Thank you for the food that I ate today and for the gas that's in my vehicle. Thank you for the air conditioning. Thank you for this wonderful church. Thank you for lights. Thank you for these comfortable chairs. God, thank you. I sure do love you. I know I'm not perfect, but I love you. Kids, when's the last time you said I love you to your mom and your dad? When's the last time you said I love you, God? I love you. When that offering plate goes by, God, I love you. Church time, God, I love you. And I'm going to prove I love you. I'm going to be in church. I'm going to go soul winning. I'm going to pay my tithes and I'm going to get involved in missions, and I'm gonna do the best I can because I love you. She showed me what love was, real love. She didn't have to think about it. I didn't say, Neviah, tell Dad you love me. Tell Dad you love him. No, she said it out of her heart because she meant it. She appreciated it. She loved the attention. She loved the time with her dad, and Dad, I love you. She gives me a hug, and she gives me a kiss right here, and you know, God likes it when you say, God, I love you. He loves that. He loves to hear that. And He loves it when you prove it too, that you love Him. I love my wife. I prove that by buying flowers for her, taking her out to eat, spending time with her, providing for her, loving her, protecting her. I do it because I love her. When was the last time you said, God, I love you? Just some preventative maintenance tonight. Some things I've learned I think will be good for all of us. And lastly is joy. as I'm spending time with her, she is just smiling, smiling, smiling. That's all she does. She plays. She takes her time. She's patient. And I'm sitting there, and she's just, I mean, I've finished like two pizzas already, and she's still on her first two bites, and she's just enjoying every moment of it. And she's just smiling and smiling. When I asked her, I said, "Navaya, why do you always smile?" She says, "Why do you smile? Why are you so happy? Why are you so happy?" You know what she said? She said, "Because I'm saved." Because I'm saved. Taught me a lot. Grown man. Yet God used a little kid to humble me and put me in my place and remind me, you need to be patient. You need to be have some joy in your life. Can I remind you, if you're saved tonight, you're not going to hell. You're going to heaven. That's something to shout about. Is that something to rejoice in? But yet many times we come to church and why? Because maybe you're not content. Why? Because you don't have patience. Why? Because you're not honest with God. You're holding out on Him. You're not exercising your love that's in you. Therefore, there's no joy. Watch your children. You'll learn some things. Just watch them. Listen to them. You'll learn some things. That's what I've learned, and I hope that was a help to you. Just practical, simple, preventative maintenance. See, Christianity's not hard. It's simple. It's simple. But yet we treat it like it's hard. That's why He said, "Come here, let me use you." Now, look at this child. She comes to me like you come to me, like this little child. And I want to give you a chance tonight to come to the altar. And let's be honest with God tonight, shall we? Whatever is on your heart, give those to God. And maybe you walk out of this place smiling. Ask God for patience. Maybe ask God, "I need contentment." Ask God, "Lord, will you show me how to be patient? Will you help me? Man, God, I'm struggling here. I'm trying. Patient, fear, contentment, trust, obedient, honesty, love, and joy. Why are you saved? Why are you smiling? Because I'm saved." We're singing that song tonight. Saved, saved. Father, we thank you. Lord, I just wanted to share my heart tonight. Some things that you've helped me with. And I pray this was a help to your people tonight. Just very, very practical lesson tonight about coming before you as a little child. We can learn a lot from a little child. Lord, thank you for showing me the things I've lacked in my Christian walk with you. Lord, I know we have a church full of unperfect people. But maybe there's some that lack patience. Maybe there's fear in them. Maybe they're incontent. Maybe they just don't trust you. Maybe they're not obedient to you. Maybe they're not being honest with you. Maybe they're not sharing the love. That love is just not there for soul. That's why they're not soul winning. And I believe many lack joy in our life. We worry too much about bills. We worry too much about health. We worry too much about things. And we forget that we have the greatest thing, which is salvation. As the Ethiopian eunuch got saved and was baptized, the Bible said that he went on rejoicing because he got saved. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would help this church, Lord, to put some joy in them so that we can serve you with a full heart and that we be thankful for what you've done for us. And Lord, I pray that you will bless now this invitation. And I believe there are many that need to come to the altar tonight to just talk to you, just to lay something out for you. And I pray that you would help them so they can leave this place changed. I love these folks and just want to help them. Father, please bless this invitation.